I'm Master Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hi, quick caveat before this episode begins. I recorded this in December of 2023. I think it was actually December 31st. So my plan was to release it in January. And clearly that did not happen since it's now being published in June. However, the concept still applies. And I just wanted to throw that out there. So if you hear me referencing the new year or some different dates, just know it applies all year long. All right, let's get to it. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So today I want to dive into this topic of trying to make up for what you ate in the past, whether it's what you ate the day before, what you ate over the holidays, what you ate last year, because this is something that often comes up. And this is something that I really struggled with a lot when I was really dieting through a lot through my 20s and even into my early 30s as I was still trying to break this habit. It was this thought of, I screwed up last night. I binged. I overate. So today, I'm going to try to exercise more. I'm going to run more miles. I'm going to exercise longer. I'm going to do more of a workout. I'm also going to cut out certain foods or certain food groups. A lot of times it was this restriction of, okay, I overate last night. I ate too much sugar. So now today, no sugar or no carbs, or today for real, I'm not going to eat these foods. And I always had the best of intentions in the morning, but by the afternoon and certainly by the end of the night, I didn't have the willpower in me to keep fighting, to keep resisting, to keep restricting. And there were a couple things at play. And so the core issue here with this concept of trying to make up for what you ate the night before or the day before or what you ate over the holidays, I see this a lot in January, right? A lot of diets are, let me make up for and try to burn off all the calories that I ate over the holidays. And so we end up becoming really restrictive. So we go from eating and drinking a bunch of sweets and desserts and cocktails and wine, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? So we go from eating and drinking all the food and wine and cocktails and all the things, all the sweets, to now trying to cut it all out completely. And so we do these like sugar detoxes and cleanses, and we have dry January. We have things that are very common, or even to do the whole 30, or we call them reboots or resets or whatever it is. And again, nothing wrong with these programs as a whole, but a lot of times we are going from one extreme to the other. We're going from being all in, eating our faces and drinking our faces off, to then being all out of, now I have to cut out all these foods and try to get my life and habits and things back on track. But life happens in the middle. Life happens in the gray, right? It's, we're used to this black and white thinking of, it's these two extremes, and all of life happens in the gray. It's different shades of gray. And this is where we need to get better about creating the right mindset, because this is what creates consistency. This is what allows you to be successful, not just to lose the weight once, but to lose it off and keep it off for life. And so what I've found this issue really boils down to is this outdated concept of calories in, calories out. That is really what's driving this idea of, I can make up for what I ate before, because we have this misguided thought that weight loss is just eat less and exercise more. That's what we've been taught for so many things. So many diets ultimately boils down to eat less of these foods, eat less altogether, and not a little bit less. A lot of times it's extreme less. That's the problem, is it's an extreme less. And then exercise more. So we think that our bodies and that weight loss is a simple math equation. That's the way that it's been positioned. It is so much more complex than a simple math equation. And so this is why even some of the clients that come to me and who work with me, or most of them, they come from this philosophy and this background of doing things like Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or even Noom recently, or they're counting points, they're counting macros, they're counting calories, they're trying to go low fat, low carb. And a lot of them are tracking and just have a habit of tracking points or calories. It's just a very easy way. It's a way that they've been taught, and it's a way that, quote, worked in the past for a little while. And so it's what they often default to. And so there can be some uncertainty around trusting their bodies to eat when they're hungry and stop when they're satisfied, because they keep thinking, well, if I do that, I'm eating too much and I'm not eating low enough to create the weight loss that I want to see. But your body is not a simple math equation. And this has been debunked. I actually talk about this in episode 12 called Hunger Games, Why Calories In, Calories Out Doesn't Work. This has been repeatedly shown to create problems, like to create health problems, to lose weight and then to gain it back, and more, to create psychological issues and problems around food, to where we don't have a healthy relationship with food. We don't have a healthy mindset with it. Food is bad. It's off limits. We're at war with it, is really what it comes down to. We're at war with our food, and then we become at war with our bodies. And then we end up living in this diet hell. And really, this whole premise of calories in, calories out, and this math equation was debunked in the post-World War II era. And I talk about it more in episode 12. So if you haven't listened to that one, or even if you have, maybe go back and re-listen to that, because it was the mid to late 40s when Ansel Keys did a study. And I go through and talk about that study and show how these restrictive diets, while the people and the participants lost weight, it was not in a healthy way. And the irony was that they got to a point where they couldn't keep losing any more weight. They became obsessed with food. They desired and they looked at food like they would crave it and desire it like sex. Like, it became this very off-limits thing where there was a lot of psychological attachment to it. There were a lot of binge eating behaviors that stemmed from it because of the restriction, to the point where at least one of the participants went to the hospital to have his stomach pumped because he just binged and ate so much food after being given access now to what was previously restricted. So there are so many things. But what he found in this study too was that there came a point where people stopped losing weight. They couldn't keep cutting calories. They couldn't keep cutting food and still lose weight because their bodies decreased how much energy it was burning. So it could lose a little bit, but then there came a point where if you're eating, you know, 1,000 calories or 1,200 calories and you're used to eating 2,000, your body is not going to keep burning 2,000 calories. It's going to decrease to match the level of input that you're giving it. What happened was that as they started eating more food, they actually did start to lose some weight again because their body created safety. It had some safety around food. It was no longer this scarce thing, because when we keep restricting food and we restrict calories, we restrict the quality of the food that we're getting. And a lot of times we're trying to cut out fat or carbs or things that our body truly needs to survive and to function well. And so our body is thinking like something has gone wrong. There's a problem. There's a famine. There's a war. And because of that, when it activates our nervous system like that, not only does it activate diet trauma, which I also talk about in episode 55, but it activates this response where your body now shuts down metabolism. It increases hunger. It decreases satiety. And it decreases your body's ability to burn fat because it's seen as this superfluous activity. And your brain and body is wired like it's looking for a threat. And it sees this lack of food as a threat to your survival. It doesn't know what's happening in the world. And so it is trying to conserve. It's trying to hold on to the weight. So when you do start to eat food again, though, it isn't always that you just start eating more and you keep losing weight. Sometimes your body gets used to burning less energy. So as you eat more, that's why we gain the weight back. When we go back to old eating habits, versus something that feels more sustainable and consistent long-term, year-round. Now, there are still going to be phases, right? We're still going to go through seasons of life where maybe we are eating more sweets, or we're drinking a little bit more, or we have more stress, or there are still going to be some ups and downs and things. The key here, though, is that we are aware of it. We're conscious and we are mindful of it, and we are not making these big shifts one way or the other. And that's one of the big things that I teach, is that when you have an off day, when you overeat or you emotionally eat, the key is that you get right back on track. There's no restricting, no depriving. You do not wake up the next day and think, oh, I need to make up for that last night. So now I don't get to eat. Now I don't get to eat carbs. Now I don't get to eat any food that tastes good. There is no punishment. There is no trying to make up for what happened yesterday. It's now I get right back on track. And one of the pieces of this, and what I teach clients and work with them on, is how to assess and evaluate why the overeat or the emotional eat happened to begin with. We need to be assessing so that we don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. But we also need to stop the restricting, because ultimately what we're doing here is punishment. Not only are we trying to fix this quote math equation that we think is at the root of our weight loss or our ability or maybe like potential success, but this is also punishment. When we are trying to make up for what happened, it's you were bad last night, you ate too much, So now you don't get to eat these foods today or this week. Now you have to work out longer or harder. You have to do more in order to make up. It's a punishment. And that is not a healthy relationship with food. We should not be punishing ourselves around food. We should not be punishing and beating ourselves up around food and around what we ate. And again, this is what we're rarely talking about, is this insidious nature of this self-loathing and the blame and the judgment and the shame that we feel emotionally and psychologically after these overeats and emotional eats. Okay, so it's punishing ourselves with how we're thinking about ourselves. It's the thoughts that we have and the beliefs, but then it's also the action of how we are trying to restrict the next day. And sometimes it's for a season, right? So sometimes it's, now that we're in January, I'm going to try to make up for all that I ate over the holidays from October through December. And now it is essentially punishment. Instead, we want to focus on small, simple, sustainable changes, right? Because our body is not this simple math equation. Our body is more like a highly tuned thermostat that is designed to keep you alive. It's designed to keep you safe. And it does not like a lot of change. It likes small, little changes. It needs little adjustments. And then it will recalibrate and it will reset. It doesn't do well with these big swings. And that is typically what happens with the new year. We get all gung-ho and we're like, no sugar until Valentine's Day, no sugar until spring break, or no drinking until spring break, or whatever it is. Like, we set some kind of arbitrary benchmark and we say, none of this until that. And it's not done in a healthy way. And I can even look back now over the holidays and see how, yep, there were a couple weeks where I probably was eating more cookies than I would have liked, or than I like maybe should have. Instead of maybe eating one or two a day, I was eating more like 6 to 10. And usually not quite 10. I was eating more 6 to 8. There were a lot more sweets, a lot more candy. And what I can do now is start to cut back and decrease. I don't have to cut out sugar and sweets altogether. I don't have to say no cookies ever. I can just get back to, okay, what does consistency look like for me? And that looks like 2 or 3 small cookies a day, having one treat per day, or maybe it's ice cream, but it's not going to be ice cream and cookies and some candy. It's not all of these things together. So we can be aware of when maybe we have gone a little overboard, and we want to readjust back to neutral, not into restriction. We just adjust back to what is sustainable. What can I do consistently now for the rest of my life without hating my life? And you might even think about it as like the rest of the month. What can I do for this month without hating my life? What feels realistic and doable? And making these big sweeping changes, while we have these kind of idealistic views about it, at 8 a.m., it sounds easy and doable and we have the best intentions. And at 8 p.m., we're like, fuck it. I don't want to do that. Give me all the food. Give me all the drinks. Give me all the things that I have been telling myself I can't have. One of the problems is that all we try to do with the restriction is we try to take away one of our coping mechanisms. So if we're coping with food or alcohol, we don't know any other way to cope. So of course, all we're doing is taking this away. We're taking away our coping mechanism. And then we expect ourselves to be able to function and work properly. And we don't know what else to do. And so of course, then we give in. But then there's so much more shame and self-loathing around it. And then we go back to, okay, tomorrow, I'm not going to do this. Tomorrow, I'm going to be perfect. Tomorrow, I'm going to be able to figure this out. Tomorrow, I'll just have more willpower. Tomorrow, I'm going to try harder. And we get stuck in these cycles and these loops of constantly trying tomorrow or Monday. Or it's this benchmark of, I'm not perfect now, but tomorrow, maybe I can be perfect. And that's when I can be successful. And so we need to make success no longer equal perfection, right? Perfection is not a requirement for success. I have still lost weight and kept it off, eating all the foods, still sometimes overeating, sometimes emotionally eating. But the key is that I'm doing it less frequently. I'm assessing and evaluating why it's happening so that I can stop it in the future and I can change that habit and change that behavior. And I'm really starting to address the emotions underneath it. And I'm getting better and better at identifying and managing all of the emotions and really allowing myself to feel any emotion. Because that's all emotional eating or emotional drinking is. It's an underfeeling problem. We are underfeeling the emotions that we have. We want to distract and avoid them. And so we lean into these other ways of coping and distraction, like food, alcohol, shopping or spending, maybe social media. There's these other things that we do then to try to escape the negative emotions. I don't have to feel this if I'm putting this in my mouth. I don't have to feel this if I'm pouring this glass of wine. That's what we want to solve for. Because this making up for what you ate or what you drank is not healthy, it's not sustainable, and it's done from a very punitive place. We need to focus on creating a healthy, sustainable relationship with food and with alcohol and with all the things in our life, with sugar, with sweets, with carbs. And while we may not need sugar in our life, you might want it, and that's okay. The other thing that I want to say here too, and the other aspect, is that you can become the person that you want to be, and it's okay if you're not that person right now. You may want to be the person who can eat two cookies and stop instead of eating a dozen. You may not be her right now, but you are becoming her. And I think being okay with who you are now and how you're showing up is so essential and so key that you have peace and acceptance with who you are now and knowing the future me that doesn't overeat, that doesn't binge, that is satisfied with two cookies. Like, I want to be her and I am not her now. And that's okay. There's peace with this journey and this process that I don't have exactly what I want in this moment, or I'm not showing up the way that I totally want to, but I'm learning how to do it, right? Because so often it's, I want to be the person who only eats two cookies, but you never learn and train yourself how to be that person. This is so great because we can see why we never teach ourselves how to lose the weight and keep it off. We never retrain our mindset around how to continue to show up for our goals in a healthy way. And that's why we end up gaining the weight back. It's very much if somebody who is not used to having money wins the lottery and then blows all the money because they're not used to having the money. They didn't make it. They didn't earn it. So they didn't achieve it in some way. It was pure luck. And then they had no way of managing it. They didn't have the right mindset. So they didn't spend it and take action with it in a productive way, which is why it's really easy for them to just blow all the money. And again, not everybody will do this, but we hear story and story time again. And we see this a lot with weight loss. We restrict for a little bit of time, but there comes a point where we don't want to keep restricting. We don't want to keep punishing ourselves. We just don't have the willpower. And this was my story. I could restrict and I could cut carbs for a short amount of time, but after doing diets a couple of times, I just didn't have the willpower. There was one time I got a meal plan from a health coach and I could not stick with that meal plan a single day. I couldn't. And it was leaning more towards a Whole30. It was more real foods, less processed, but she didn't want me to be drinking mochas, which I absolutely loved and was like, F you, I'm drinking my mocha. She wanted me to be happy with one piece of chocolate when I was binging, basically. I was eating multiple protein bars. I was eating chocolate. I was eating cookies. I was eating popcorn. I was eating, quote, healthier snacks or low-carb snacks, but I was still overeating and emotionally eating. And days, weeks, I kept trying to show up and do this meal plan, and it just wasn't realistic. It was too big of a jump, and it was too restrictive, and I wasn't solving for the emotional eating, and so of course it felt so much harder to get there, but it was too big of a jump. Too much, too soon, too fast, just like I talked about last week. That is what we want to be on the lookout for, and being okay with the fact that you might not be that person. You might still be the person who's emotionally eating, and you are going to become, and you are on your way of becoming the person who doesn't emotionally eat, but you are still her right now, and that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. I still occasionally emotionally eat. I still occasionally overeat. It doesn't have to be a problem. The question is always, how are you going to get back on track? What is your next best decision? It doesn't matter whether it's 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. What is your next best decision? When you can focus on that, that is going to bring all of the power back into your court to where now you have so much more say and you can course correct. There's no more, oh, I blew it. I screwed up. I've ruined it. There's no saving. This is how we break the all or nothing thinking of I'm either on the wagon or I'm off. They're all in or we're all out. We need to break this screw it, I've ruined it kind of mentality, this perfectionist fantasy. We need to break that habit. And we do that by asking ourselves, what is the next best decision? So it doesn't matter whether it's December 23rd or January 15th or February 8th, doesn't matter what the date is. What matters is what is your next best decision? That is what's important. So whenever you are listening to this podcast and this episode, this is something to remember and to take with you. You are always in control of your decisions. You have never ruined it. You have never screwed up. You have never blown it. You are never too far gone. You start by making the next best decision. That is the key to successful weight loss, is learning from your mistakes, learning how to assess, and learning how to identify and figure out what is my next best step from here, regardless of what happened before, not beating yourself up, not shaming yourself, but trusting that you can and you will figure this out. And this is part of the process, is learning from the mistakes, not expecting perfection, not requiring it, and being able to move forward and trust that you will make more mistakes. And that's okay, because you're going to learn from those too. And you are going to get to the point where you're doing more right than you are making mistakes. I was explaining this concept to one of my clients, and I was saying how in the beginning, it's like when we evaluate and we look at what's working, there might be three things that are working. Then we look at what's not working. There might be 10 or 12 things that are not working. And then we might start to think about, okay, what can I do differently next time? There might be 30 things of what I could do differently next time. That is the ratio that we're starting with. That's okay. So often we think that something has gone wrong if we have that kind of ratio. If it's like three things that are working and that you're getting right, 10 things you're getting wrong, 30 things to try differently or that you could experiment with. A lot of times we think there's something wrong with that ratio. That should be flipped. When really, it's no. When we're starting out, this is normal. And as you get going, it's a spectrum. So you're going to start to increase what you're doing right and what you're getting right. And you're going to start to decrease what you're not getting right. You're starting to decrease the amount of things to try because you keep trying new things. You keep experimenting and looking at what's going to work for you, your lifestyle, your situation. Because everybody has a different life. You have a different body composition. You have different hormones, different stress levels, stress tolerance levels. You have different circumstances that you're dealing with. And it is not fair to compare yourself to anyone else in the world. It's not. It doesn't mean that we are a victim of our circumstances. This just means that we need to stop using other people and their success against yourself. It's time for you now to decide how you want to show up and the results that you want to achieve and that you want to create. That's really what we're working on here, is how can you show up as the best version of yourself today and know that is going to keep getting better and better. You are the best version of yourself today. Tomorrow, you're going to be a little bit better. It's that 1%. You keep getting 1% better, 1% better. And you still praise and validate yourself for what you are getting right today. You still feel proud of your accomplishments for what you are doing today, even when it feels small, insignificant, or not enough. This is how I work with clients. It's to retrain the way that you think about food, about weight loss, about dieting, about energy, about fitness, about your body, about the scale. It's about retraining your thoughts and your beliefs about who you are as a person. That is the key. So if you would like some help with this, if you want to lose weight and keep it off for life, if you want to end emotional eating or emotional drinking, if you want to learn how to create a healthy relationship with food instead of being at war with it, if you want to learn how to love your body instead of hating it and trying to beat it into submission, this is what I will help you do. Because part of it is, if you genuinely want to lose weight and you want to get fit or healthy or you want to achieve a certain goal, I can help you do that, but we're going to do it the right way, which means that we are going to focus on changing your thoughts and beliefs instead of just trying to focus on the action and action your way into something new, where you're going to create a result and not be able to sustain it, not be able to keep it. And that feels terrible. So we need to stop trying to do that all the time and now focus on really changing your mindset and transforming the way that you see yourself and who you are as a person so that you can start to show up differently in all these different areas of life, but especially in weight loss, especially when it comes to the emotional eating. If you want some help with this, then schedule a free consult and let's talk about what it would look like to work together and to get this kind of help. We'll dive into where you are now, where you want to be in the next 6 to 12 months. Where do you want to be at the beginning of next year, the beginning of 2025? Do you want to keep wrestling with the same issue over and over again? Or are you ready to lose the weight and truly keep it off for life? That's what I can help you do. So if you would like some help, go to www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule and find a day and time on my calendar. And let's spend some time really talking through this and figure out what's going on now. What have you tried in the past? What's worked? What hasn't? I'm going to give you a little hint. If you haven't kept the weight off, it hasn't actually worked. So let's talk about why not. What have been the roadblocks, the obstacles, the challenges? And then I'll help you build out a roadmap to get where you want to go. and to show you what you really should be focusing on and all of the bullshit that we can just leave to the side. Because there is a lot of crap out there. There's a lot of extra fluff that we don't need to be obsessing about. And the key is that we start where you're at right now and we make these simple changes, these simple up levels, and we get just a little bit better. And when you give yourself permission to enjoy the process, to enjoy your life, and you focus on creating a life that you absolutely love, I guarantee the body will follow. But you have to focus on creating the life. You have to start enjoying and loving your life right now. No more waiting until you lose the weight. No more waiting until you find a spouse or you have kids or the kids get out to a certain age or they're out of school. No more waiting and being dependent on these external circumstances. It's time to create a life that lights you up right now. And when you have more joy, peace, love, adventure in your life, you're no longer seeking it at the bottom of a bag of chips. You're no longer seeking it at the bottom of a pint of ice cream. And this is huge, because when we have more fun and joy and pleasure in life, we don't need food to be that primary source. We can still enjoy it. We can still eat it, but it no longer is the highlight of our day. And that is key. Let's stop trying to make up for what we ate last year and let's focus on who you want to be this year. Who do you want to become? And give yourself permission to take your time getting there. And if you need some extra support, then reach out for it. Get support where you can. There is so much support, not just from me, but from other people and communities and groups. Give yourself permission to take as much time as it needs to take and to trust that you can and you will figure this out. But we've got to stop the punishment. We've got to stop trying to beat ourselves and our bodies into submission and into looking a certain way so that we can try to be happy, because it's not going to last. All right. If you're ready to create the life and body you crave, let's do it. This is your time. Let's go.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.